Also, the man in charge of the, you'd say it's a Goliath, the stable at Ballarat, on Ballarat Cup Day, and I speak of Declan Maher. And I think I've been noticing his brother's been on holidays, taking a few happy snaps on social media at Byron Bay at the moment, as we welcome in the true brains behind the team at Ballarat, Declan Maher. How are you, Dec?
Good, Michael.
Hey, just on that issue of the Jericho sharing the stage with the Zipping next week, did you have a view on that?
I think it's put it to them as good a plan just to try something new, I think. Like the crowd obviously was quite good on Underwood Stakes Day. At Sandown would have been had they, you know, been able to have a crowd there, I mean, but I think it was good to have a Group 1 back at Sandown. I sort of thought that was they tried something new, and I guess they'll know more after the weekend.
I spoke a little earlier in the week to Dave Eustace about the team that you've got for Ballarat, and he said, look, it's not that we've aimed all the horses here. Some of the cards have fallen this way, but to have seven pre-race favourites is remarkable on Ballarat Cup Day.
Well, it was really, and it's like you pointed out, it was never really a plan to have them all in there, really, and they're just probably, it's just been the way, as you say, where the cards have fell. You know, we've had some horses that have probably prepped up well, and even like say thought of that. It was never a plan for him to be in the Ballarat Cup, but you know, we just wanted to get him back winning, and obviously he's progressed that way, and he probably, you know, he gets in with a nice weight, and he's a horse in form. So you know, and the 2-year-olds, like, you sort of never, you just take them along and hope they're ready when they are, and obviously like horses like Murabi, you know, she was just, Kieran was just biding his time and Dave with her, and you know, she's ready to kick off again too. So it wasn't like a long range plan, but obviously since we have a big stable here at Ballarat, it's good to have a nice strong team in.
Yeah, you got a very strong team, there's no doubt about that, Dec. Owners back, no bubble, sounds fantastic, but I imagine, like Ballarat Cup Day in the past, been huge days for marquees, particularly for the bigger racing stables around Ballarat. So how did you go about that? If you've not got a marquee today, was it too difficult to sort of organise? Because I imagine it would have been very popular had you been able to.
No, we just sort of, we normally have the big marquee that Darren used to have sort of just on the edge of the mounting yard there, and it's a case of it all only unraveled in the last week or so, and it was too hard to get the whole thing organised, and there wasn't sort of having a lot of owners and a big stable, you sort of wouldn't feel right just having, you know, a small marquee there with, you know, just select people in it. It's, you know, the smaller owners and the big owners, they all mean just as much to us as, you know, they're all great and we all want them all involved. So it was just easier this year to, you know, just leave it as it was. And obviously we're going to have owners on course, and it's great that the bubble's been lifted. So now that we can all interact with each other and enjoy the day, and the sun's actually shining down here this morning, which is quite nice.
Oh, it won't last long in Ballarat. Hey, Dec, before we talk about the runners today, I just want to set the scene for the Ballarat operation. And I remember having a chat to you not that long ago about basically the day it all began. And it was standing out the front. Darren Weir was there, you were there, and Kieran were there. And you basically signed over the cheque to take over this incredibly large stable at Ballarat. And Kieran sort of looked at you and said, well, we've got it, but what do we do now? Who's going to be in charge? And then you basically stepped up to the plate with a very short reply, didn't you?
Yeah, he sort of said, you better come up here. It's going to be a bit happening sort of thing. I sort of said to him, as it went, I just said, oh, what do you want me to do up here? And he sort of said, oh, well, you know, you can write a bit of work and, you know, just sort of be here and, you know, go to the races and that sort of thing. And I sort of, not to sort of say it too off cuff, but I just said to him, I said, stuff that. I said, I'll just run the place. So, you know, with that, it was obviously quite tough the first few months, but, you know, he put faith in me, and which was obviously gave me the confidence then to, you know, I'd obviously worked with him and even like with Ian Gilchrist alongside at Caulfield, and but to do it down here, and obviously at the start there was a lot of horses that we didn't know. Horses that came across from Darren, and but you know, we kept hard at it. It was some long days and long nights, but we got there. And you know, as we always say, the team we've got around us now down here, we couldn't do it without them, and they all work bloody hard. So,
in taking up an annex of Mar Eustis Racing. You actually took up a stable that is bigger than 99% of actual full stables around Australia. So you woke up to 160 horses every day. Just tell us about where the stable's at now. It just gets bigger and bigger. I've seen the Cranbourne operation, which is almost ready to go, and then there's Fingal and everywhere else as well, Ballarat, Caulfield, and so on. To be a cog in the wheel, just take us through how this machine operates, like on a daily basis. Who's where? Like, I know you wake up in Ballarat and Dave seems to float around. How does every day play out for Mar Eustis Racing?
Well, sort of down here, we usually ride out about 5 o'clock every morning, and then you go through the morning from then to about 10:30, and sort of through that you'll be doing trotting up horses, and I still ride a few myself every now and then. Well, most days at the minute, because we're a little bit short on riders, and the truck keeps arriving with more, so there's always a few there that I can jump on if I like, and obviously a few of the Jericho horses and the jumpers are back in, so I usually pick them before I pick the others, just because they're a bit easier on me. But then you would work through to at least sort of lunchtime, and then head into the office, and Jack and I will be going over the work list with Dave or Kieran and vice versa, and then you sort of, that's your mud map of your more each day, really, the way the work list is set out, organising gallops, trials, when the jockeys come in, like if Johnny Allen's or Linda Meach are coming in the morning, or Harry Coffey, like trying to organise all that, and then obviously then just the day-to-day stuff with horses arriving, horses leaving, and runners, and sort of. And then you wake up and do it all again the next day.
How many actual horses on the books in all the operations do you have, Declan?
Exactly sure the how many's on the books. I think there's a bit over 300 in work at the moment, sort of thing. So there's a fair few. There's about 175 down here at the minute, I think there is. We sort of have filtered a few out of Caulfield down to here now. So I haven't got many empty yards at the minute, put it that way.
And it's been such a huge expansion over the last few years. Is this where you want to settle and consolidate for a while, or is Kieran, yourself and Dave already looking and planning for the future to maybe even get bigger?
Kieran's never one to sort of probably stop progressing. I can remember him and I having a conversation. It would have been, I think it was when we were at Caulfield, early days. I think we probably had about 15 there. And Kieran said to me one day then, he said, I want to be training not 100 horses, I want to be training 400 horses. And at the time, we sort of looked at each other and laughed. But, we're already over 300 now, so it's probably not that far away, really.
Dec, obviously the numbers are quite vast as far as the horse is concerned, but the staff, it must be a huge staff rollout as well.
Yeah, well, I think we've got it's around sort of 60 or 70, I think it is, somewhere around that. Obviously, it fluctuates and goes down as people, leave, and then new staff turn up, and then you sort of have, like, it's funny, we're only discussing this recently with trying to recruit more staff, but there's sort of a position, especially here at Ballarat, for anybody, I'm here, it's a good time to say that, because we have some even older people that are here that have sort of semi-retired. They'll come in and just do some boxes of an afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, or they might work Sunday morning. They might only do one or two shifts a week, and then you have obviously your other staff that work sort of six mornings a week, or then you have other staff that just sort of work an afternoon, which sort of is from 1:30 to about 5. So it's very versatile for people that want to work in the industry and and want to be around horses, and it's just I'm happy being here and doing what I'm doing, and it's as I always harp on saying, the team is what makes it, so, and they're all work really hard, and that's what makes racing, really, is the people involved.
There's so many interesting little chapters to the Mar brothers story, and there's a great one about Kieran and Dec. Started off with them. What's that heavy machinery that you crop paddocks with, Dec?
We used to do hay and silage and put crops in, and forage harvester, one of those big class.
What was the name of your little company with Kieran?
Mar Brothers Rural Contractors.
Mar Brothers Rural Contractors, and they'd be up all night, 3 days in a row, just cropping the paddocks next to, and that's how they made a bit of a quid early on. And I remember you and Kieran sat next to each other and looked out the back at Ballarat a year or so ago, and you looked at each other and you said something like, "I think we've made it."
Yeah. Well, there was days. It was actually when Kieran was a jumps jockey, because the jump season would finish, and then we'd be getting right into the harvest. So that used to obviously start about mid-September. So then he would stop being a jumps jockey because the season would be over, and he would come and drive the forage harvester all through the spring. And then he would, at the end of that, sort of start of December, he would go off. Or at times he travelled overseas and rode horses overseas in Dubai and went to Ireland, and, you know, or he was back up in Melbourne riding work. So we have always worked together, as a lot of people know, and that was an early stage, and then it's sort of gone to a different level now, though.
And it could have all been so different because you were at one stage looking to become the next Partridge Family in the family musical band as well, playing all the pubs down at Warrnambool.
Yeah, I did used to play a little bit of guitar, and Kieran used to play a bit of bass, but the problem was that you used to have to milk cows twice a day, so finding time to do that and probably have a bit of a sleep sometimes was a little bit, they were the things that always suffered. It was either the schoolwork or the music, so...
Tim, and the schoolwork didn't get much of a run. I'm thinking about the Pogues as their classic Mar Brothers band. Hey, is this a ridiculous... I did text Dave and sort of tease him about this, and he didn't dismiss it. If you do expand further, and I would imagine that the world is shrinking to the point where at some point there will be a big stable that's, you know, that's global, you know, as far as bases in across different sides of oceans and so on. Would it be unimaginable for Mar Eustace to have 40 in work at Newmarket or something like that, with Dave's brother somehow involved and a few horses for the Cheltenham Jumps Festival, and try and get one to get up at Royal Ascot or something like that? Would that be beyond the realms of possibility?
Well, you'd never say never, and we all know that Kieran doesn't mind getting on an aeroplane, so and going for a flight somewhere. So if he had to sort of... probably every month or so go over to England to look at some horses, I don't think he would mind doing that, really.
One last one before we get into your horses today. Just on Kieran, he seems to have a constitution which is as strong as Jamaica and some of your great grand annual winners, because he doesn't mind celebrating a win, yet how many hours does he actually sleep a night?
I'm not sure, actually. He can seem to run on a low amount better than I can, really. But I guess he gets it when he needs to. He doesn't mind that when he gets a chance. He can soon shut the eyes for half an hour, and then he can, you know, he'll get back up into it. But as you say, he'll be out with the owners, and he's quite clever at it at times. He might be out celebrating, but you always find that he'll be sneaking over to the side of the bar and having a glass of water through the evening. And I think that he does that, then in turn he's like me, you know, we've always got up early from a young age, and when the work's got to be done, you get up and do it, and it's probably not, the doctors out there probably wouldn't say it's ideal for the sleep pattern and all that, but that's just what you do, you just get up and get the work done.
Is that right? He slides a beer down the back of a pot plant just to... that's an interesting revelation, Dick. Hey, I reckon of all...
He'll go over and he'll be getting a glass of water in through the evening rather than just drinking beer or whatever he's doing.
The sneaky one,
Or just having wine if he's at a lunch or a dinner. You always see him sneaking in a few glasses of water. And that must be
all right.
Helps you get through.
Trade secret. Of all the great programming decisions he's made, and what he did with Regina Coeli, the greatest decision he ever made was the haircut. Is it a great sense of relief across the Mar clan that finally Sideshow Bob got rid of those ridiculous, that scraggy-looking thing he had happening there, and he looks like a respectable citizen now?
A few people have said that, have asked me about that, and I don't really have an answer. I just keep saying that maybe he's trying to look more like his younger brother now. That's the best I can come up with.
Hey, Manny was talking about the expansion overseas. Well, you've got a really interesting new chapter to your stable with this American horse, Lighthouse. And, gee, she was impressive on debut. How good do you think she could be, Dick?
Well, yeah, it was quite... when she landed here in Ballarat, initially she was... I thought she was a lovely type, and then I sort of spoke to Kieran, and he was saying to me that obviously the owners were sent the horse over and just to sort of feel their way. Obviously, have a lot of horses in America, so she had a bit of, you know, a bit of class over there. So that was more of a trial horse to see how she went, and she wasn't here much because she sort of had her feet weren't in the best order when she arrived. So our farrier looked at her, and then she spends most of her time down at Fingal, and they've done a super job with her, and sort of and then goes into gallop at Caulfield. But she does seem to have a bit of X factor, so it's yeah, she's pretty exciting.
Well, we know that she can swim, even though she's come from America. By the way, she won at Kyneton, and she could have swam across the Pacific. But it gets us to where the track might be at. It's listed as a soft five at the moment, Deck, and you're there. Are you expecting it might race better than a soft five?
Well, I haven't actually got a chance to get out and get a walk on it this morning because we've been that busy. But I was talking to Nick Stubbs, and he said he was having the water on Thursday afternoon, and I'm pretty sure I've seen the irrigators actually going last night pretty late. You know, there was a chance of a little bit of wind around today, so he didn't want it to be that, you know, hitting a three early. He sort of wanted it to be in that four range. So, but the way the sun's out now, a little bit of breeze around, I'd accept, wouldn't be surprised if sort of after the first couple of races, from just knowing what the track's like, that it probably would go to a four, and hopefully it can just stay there for the day.
Every race, you've got great chances. Just a couple of quick ones, especially the two-year-olds. Fly Nice, there's been a good rap on this, and I think Andy Lewis is a part owner down the Emerald, where Maddie's going today. He's hoping to have a free lunch. Will Fly Nice get up?
Well, she was always a nice horse that when she obviously did a few preps here before heading down to the Caulfield stable to sort of, you know, progress on more. But, you know, she's been working nicely, and she's trialled up very well, and obviously, race day is a different thing for these two-year-olds. You can, you know, you always hope that they can step out in the best order, but, you know, we put the grounding into them, and they usually don't normally sort of go the wrong way on race day. But, you know, she's done everything right, and she deserves a chance, and she sort of has been working well. So, wouldn't surprise if she did get up.
And thought of that's the horse everyone's talking about in the Cup. Do you think the track will suit the way the race will play? He seems to have gone to another level this time in.
Yeah, he does. As we've sort of well known, Kieran sort of said it a few times, he's always been a quirky type of a horse. But he sort of, he just needed to unlock the, find the key to him again. And he sort of, he was going okay, and it's hard to believe that he got beaten in a synthetic race here at Pakenham only a few months ago. But he sort of brought him down here. Put him in one of the nice yards. He did a little bit of schooling, just sort of changed things up with him a bit, and just got him in a nice routine. And he just seemed to thrive off that. And sort of, I think as the horse has started winning again, he sort of, his confidence has grown, because he is that type of a horse. He just needs to get confident. He needs to be nice and sound. And with that, yeah, he's just producing it on race day now. As I say, he's a little bit quirky, but that's the enjoyment of racing horses that I really find, is when you've got a horse like that and you do have to try and find the key to him, and then he comes out and does that. It gives you a real buzz.
And I think the stable own the majority of him now too, don't they?
Well, yeah, Kieran's got, I think he's got 50%, and Dr. Gull has the other half, so it's... It was interesting, I think Kieran said it last time he won, that he wanted Kieran to stay in it because he thought he'd train it better if he owned half. It hasn't been far wrong so far.
Hey, give us your three best today.
I'm going to leave Lighthouse out of mine, just because I haven't had a lot to do with it, but I was going with the ones that I'd probably just go with the ones that I know and I've got here. I'd probably go with Signers Express, thought of that, and obviously Fly Nice, I think, would be the three I'd go with.
Okay. Do you have Marabi as well, or is she based at Caulfield?
No, she's based down at Caulfield, but as I say, they've been very happy with the way she's prepped up. Just took a little bit of time, but, you know, she gets a chance today. Obviously, she's a horse, she's 3 from 3, and she's, you know, got a lot of upside, so it wouldn't surprise if she's come out today and shown what she's shown before.
Hey, Dick, you know the best news today is, or of recent days, is you can book a table for 200 at Tukey and everything will be sweet.
Yeah, no, really.
Our secrets, the problem is our secret's out now with Tukey. Too many people are aware of it, so we'll just go very low-key on that from now on.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's actually great because it was probably it was probably good for the Robert out there, Turkey. He got a little bit of free advertising out of it, and I'm not sure if you're aware yet, Calvin McAvoy actually has a horse now named the Turkey 12.
Oh, the secret's out. Doesn't he know the rules, Kelvin? We'll have to have a chat to the young fella.
You better. I think it might be trialling Monday, actually.
Okay. Oh,
we'll follow that. Good on. Appreciate your time this morning, Declan, on such a busy day. Best of luck on your hometown cup day.
No worries. Thanks for the call.